Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And that's where we'll stop reading right there. Listen to verse 5 again. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And I don't guess I've ever used this thought. And you might say, well, that's the goofiest text I've ever heard. But if the Lord will help me for a few minutes, I'd like to preach about what's on your shoes. You may think that's stupid, but you did hear what God called that place, didn't you? It was special. It was sacred. No other place like it. And our piano player, regular piano player, sings this song, We're Standing in His Presence on Holy Ground. I believe the church, especially the altar, is a place that we need to respect. I believe it's a place that we need to watch what we say. We need to watch how we dress. We need to watch how we act. And we only need to do what God would have us to do. We need to do that no matter where we're at.
Amen. Come on.
But this place in particular is a sacred place.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
And we need to be careful. Now, preacher, you're just going to get ugly, aren't you? No, I'm trying my best not to. I just want to preach what the Lord would have me to. I want to preach about what's on your shoes. So one night during revival, maybe the last night or the night before the last night, before church started, I went to the restroom back here. And I came out and I walked right through here and right across the front, right down this aisle. And I got almost back there to the back of the sanctuary. And I ran into Gary. And Gary said, What's that on your shoe? And I didn't know it, but I had tracked some toilet paper from here all the way across and all the way down to the back. Didn't dawn on me to check. It didn't dawn on me that there might be something on there, but there was. And friend, you need to be careful. Now, that's literal. That's a literal story. I'm talking about a spiritual. We need to be very careful about what we bring up on this altar.
Amen.
We need to be very careful about what that we endorse, about what that we allow to happen, about what that we condone. This is a sacred place.
Amen.
And God will not bless over sin.
Amen.
So we need to be very careful about what we have on our shoes.
Amen.
And I said that to say this, and you pray for me for just a minute. I'm just going to try to wait on the Lord. You see, remember when Joshua was down and Israel had been defeated by the Aites? Just a small country, and he sent out 2,000 or 3,000 of the Israelite soldiers to whip them in shape, to defeat them. And they come back with their tail between their legs. They had been defeated. 36 men of Israel lost their lives, and it was a shame. And Joshua was tore all to pieces, and he got down and prayed, and he asked the Lord, what are we going to say when God turns his back on his people? What are we going to say when these other countries just run over us? What are they going to say about you, God? And the Lord responded to Joshua. And the whole reason for the problem was because Achan had something on his shoes.
That's it, come on.
You know the story of Achan. I preached on it not long ago. You know how he went into Jericho and he took of the accursed thing and he hid it in his tent in the ground and he never said anything to anybody. And there were probably days he even forgot about it being there. But it's still there. It don't matter how deep you try to hide it, it's still on your shoes. It don't matter how long you go and you don't think about it. It's still there day after day. You know what? It's not too hard to forget about sin whenever you're not at church. Whenever you're not praying, when you're not right with God, when you're not reading your Bible. It's not too hard to not think about that sin that dwells within us. But it's still there. And did God condone that?
No. Bless.
Did Israel go right on into battle and win the battle one more time like they always, just like they always had? Did they roll the army out and say, look at us, and God's enemies just cowered and they gave up in defeat just at the sight of Israel? No, they didn't.
Bless him.
Satan ain't going to give up either. Do you know that? Now you pray for me for a few minutes. And I'm not used to carrying this thing around. It's going to take a few minutes for me to get away from this and here into this. And so Israel lost the battle and Joshua was praying. And the whole reason that Israel lost, the whole reason that 36 men died and lost their lives. Let me let you in on a little secret. Every time we gather in church at Dutch Bottoms, somebody's life is on the line. Well, preacher, I don't see anybody with a gun. I don't see anybody with a knife. I'm talking about the difference between heaven and hell. I'm talking about there could be somebody sitting right in this congregation tonight with four more breaths left, with six more heartbeats left, and we are the only path to salvation. The salvation, saving a man's soul from hell. I know that the Lord does the saving, but I'm going to tell you, you can't get there without going through the church.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on.
Now you pray for me for a few minutes.
Bless.
36 men lost their lives. John has us raise our hand if we know somebody that's lost. You know how they're going to get there? Through the church. We are the church.
Amen.
I preached to you not long ago about the man that was sick of the palsy. I believe Terry Green preached it one night during a revival. And how the doorway was blocked and they couldn't get the man in. So they had to go up on the roof. Listen, folks. If we've got something on our shoes, it could be us standing in the way of sinners. If we've got sin in our lives, listen. I know, I can't look at your heart. You can't look at mine. You don't know what I did last night, and I don't know what you did last night. But if we've not repented, we've got something on our shoes we need to get rid of before we stand up here on holy ground. This is to be respected. This is to be honored. This is a place that you need to feel privileged just to be on holy ground. And to track it up and polluted with our sin, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves.
Amen. Amen. Come on, preacher. Bless. Bless.
And I can't do that. And you can't either. I might not have pulled a drunk last night. But maybe I didn't pray like I needed to.
Amen. Come on. Come on. Bless. Bless.
I might not have had in the fire last night, but maybe I didn't read my Bible when the Lord said to read my Bible.
That's right.
I might not have went out and said, well, you're gay. Well, that's all right. You can go right on to heaven. And they can. Don't you misunderstand me. Don't you misinterpret the words I'm saying to you. A homosexual can go to heaven, but they have to go through the blood of Jesus. And when they go through the blood of Jesus, he washes their sins away. And that sin is just like any other sin. And they change from the inside out. He makes them a new creature in Christ Jesus. Will they be tempted? Why, I'm sure they will. A drunkard is still tempted even though he quits drinking. A drug addict might still be tempted even though they quit drugs. But you know what the Lord does when he saves a man, woman, boy, or girl? He gives them grace to overcome temptation.
Amen. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. Bless you.
And before we point the finger, before we point the finger, we need to take a look at ourselves. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's on your shoes? Just, I didn't think a thing about it the other night, and Gary said, what is that?
Come on, brother.
Let me let you on a little secret. When the power of God falls, it's obvious.
Amen. Amen.
When the power of God falls and some of these good singers begin to sing about the goodness of God and the tears start flowing and the hands raise and somebody talks about how good God's been to them, how merciful he's been, what blessings that he's placed in their life and the power of God all over them and that voice just quivering and I'm standing over there cold as a frog, something's on my shoes.
Come on. Come on. Come on, bless you.
What is it, preacher?
Bless you.
Something was on Achan's shoes.
Come on, preacher.
That Babylonian garment, that gold and that silver, he had tracked in and tracked out and buried in the dust. You know what that where that is? It's on your shoes. It's buried in the dust.
Amen.
In this dust. In this dust. Pull the shoes from off thy feet, for the place thou standest on is on holy ground.
Amen.
Most of us are members here tonight, and I could go and ask each and every one of you if you want to see our church grow, and you'd say,
yes.
I could ask each and every one of you individually, do you want to see our church have more spirit and power? And you'd say,
yes.
I could say, do you want to see sinners run to the altar and be saved? And you'd say,
yes.
Let me ask you this. Do you want more spirit and power in your life?
Amen.
There's only one way to get that, and that's to get whatever's on your shoes off. And not track it up on the altar. What did God tell Joshua when Joshua prayed to him and asked what the problem was? He said, sin is in the camp and somebody's taken off the accursed thing. And listen carefully. I'll not be with you anymore until you get rid of the accursed thing. Now, I might not have quoted that exactly right, but that's what the intent was. If you want to see God bless your church, pull the shoes off your feet and get whatever's on them off and don't track it up on the altar. You're making a sacrilege. You're making a mockery out of God. When we come up here with sin in our lives, God is not going to bless over sin. He's not going to give you his spirit and his power when you're living a sinful life.
Amen. Amen. Come on, preacher.
Is that okay, Marty? Is that right, John?
That's right.
That's right. Come on, preacher. Come on. Bless you.
Our custodian's sitting right over here. She would not care very much for you coming in with grease all over your shoes. and tracking it all over this carpet.
Come on. Bless you.
For putting that big old chaw of bubble gum out of your mouth and throwing it in this carpet and it getting all matted up. Bless She'd get a little bit irritated. Yeah. Would you blame her?
No.
If I came to your house and tracked your floors all up, we've got a dog at the house. It's just a dog. It don't know any better.
There you go.
But it'll go out, and every time it rains, it's got big old paws. And the next thing you know, there's tracks all over the house. And it worries my wife to death. And she'll mop and she'll sweep and she'll run the vacuum. And you know what happens the next time the dog goes out and it rains? It's right back again. It's his nature. She don't know any better.
Bless him, Lord.
Listen, friends. God is not going to condone our sin.
That's it. Come on. Come on, friend.
And we're not a dog.
That's it.
That dog don't know any better. We do.
Amen.
We know when we're pleasing God, and we know when we're not in His will.
Bless you, Lord.
I am 50, almost 58 years old. This is the same King James Version Bible that I've heard preached, taught, and read out of all my life. As a matter of fact, if you want to go farther back than 58 years, there's a scripture in this King James Version Bible that says that word is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
Do I do things against God's word? Why, sure I have. But you know what I have to do before He will use me, before I can feel His Spirit, before I can feel His power? I have to repent.
Amen.
And let me just fill you in. I know
Amen.
I've had to do this a little bit lately.
Amen.
Repentance is not saying I'm sorry because I got caught.
Amen.
Repentance is not saying I'm sorry because you found out about my sin. Repentance is regret,
Amen.
Remorse. And a change of behavior.
Amen.
It's a drawing nigh unto God.
Amen. Come on,
preacher. If you're content to make a trip to the altar and say, I'm sorry, and go right back to the same old thing you were doing, you didn't repent.
Amen. Come on, preacher. Come on.
Amen.
Bless you. Help.
That's the truth.
Good.
Bless.
Come on.
That's a good preacher.
I'd rather you just take me out and whip me.
You're doing good.
Bless him, Jesus.
Bless.
It's a lot easier to preach about heaven, isn't it, preachers?
Bless him,
Jesus. Bless. Bless him, Lord.
This is a place that's holy.
Amen.
We agree with that?
Amen.
How about this? You know what the Lord said? Be
ye holy,
ye holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
Yes. Bless you, Lord. Thank you.
Let's get another one. You want to? And I'll be down here in a minute.
Bless you, Lord.
I don't think our business meeting's going to take very long.
Come on.
Help him, Lord.
Strive for perfection.
Amen.
That ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Now, here's your reason to sit down. Well, we can't be perfect in this body, we can in this flesh. I didn't read that part of the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It said to strive, to make an effort. I have never read in God's word where anybody was ever pleasing to God, where anybody ever got the miracle they desired, where anybody ever had a prayer answered that they wanted answered without they made an effort.
Amen.
Just because you've been saved does not mean He's going to pour His power out all over you.
Amen.
You've got to make an effort to get to Him.
Amen.
Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. I'm telling you today, friend, if you want power in your life, if you want Spirit, get whatever's on
Amen.
Your shoes off and
Amen.
Out of your life
Amen.
Where you can get on up here honestly. Let's not lie to the Lord.
Amen.
Remember, Marty, I don't know where all this is coming from.
Bless you, Lord.
Remember Ananias and Sapphira?
Bless you, Lord. Bless you.
Over in Acts, I believe it's chapter 5. Everybody had everything in common, and they brought all they had, and they laid it down at the apostles' feet. And I know we've got some of these modern-day charlatans.
Come on.
They want you to bring your car title, your house title. No. You can do all that and still die and go to hell.
Amen. Come on.
He don't want that. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He wants all of you.
Amen.
All that you are. And whenever we track that stuff in on the altar, we are lying to ourselves and we're lying to God.
Amen. Come on.
Ananias bought a piece of property, and he went in and laid the money down at the apostles' feet. And I believe it was Peter said, "Did you sell it for so much?" He said, "Yea, for so much." And you know what the apostle said to Ananias? "Thou hast not lied unto men. Thou hast lied unto God."
Amen. Come on.
And you know what happened to Ananias? Because he lied to God, he fell over dead.
Amen.
And they carried him out of the temple.
Bless him.
Well, what I'm doing is not hurting nobody. Take a look at the person you live with. Yes, it is. Sapphira came in about the space of an hour later, I believe it was, or maybe 3 hours. And she came in and the apostle said, "Did you sell the land for so much?" And she said, "Yay, for so much." You know what she did? She lied unto God. When we tell ourselves that we're okay, when we tell ourselves that God is okay with our sin, we're not lying unto men. We're lying to ourselves and we're lying to God.
Amen. 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 Come on. Bless.
What did Jesus say he was? He didn't put up with any lying, did he?
Absolutely.
What did he say he was? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You want to catch the next part of that verse?
Come on.
"No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen. Amen.
In other words, honestly.
Amen.
That's it. Come on.
If you can't lay it all down at his feet, then you can't get there.
That's it. Oh, come on.
That's hurtful, preacher.
Come on.
Do you have any idea what you're missing out on?
That's it. Come on.
I don't think you do.
Hey.
Do you have any idea what you're missing out on by continuing to live with that sin?
That's it.
With tracking that sin all over the place. You're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting your mate. Mm-hmm. You're hurting your children. You're hurting your family. You're hurting your church.
That's it. Come on.
You're hurting the pastor.
Yeah. That's it.
When we are satisfied to live in sin, it touches everybody around us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, preacher. Bless him, God.
Pull the shoes off your feet, Moses, for the place you're standing.
Bless him, Lord.
Help him, Lord.
I'll ask it. Do you love the church?
Amen.
Amen.
Do you?
Amen.
Is this church special to you?
Yes. Amen.
Does it mean something to you?
Amen.
Does it mean something when they've prayed for you and you see your prayers answered? Does it mean something when you're down sick and you know somebody's off in the corner crying your name out, asking the Lord to come by and touch? Does it mean something whenever your loved one comes running to this altar and this church gathers down around them and prays and begs the Lord on their behalf to intervene? Does it mean something to you to worship together and to hug one another's neck and to feel the Spirit and the power of God? Oh, do you love your church?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Now us tracking that stuff in on our shoes It's like you socking my mother right in the nose. I'd get angry and upset. This is our spiritual mother.
Amen.
And we are to have more respect for her than that, than to track sin up on the altar.
Amen. Come on, preacher. Bless you.
I'll not be with you anymore, Moses or Joshua, until you get rid of the accursed thing. Achan knew. Did he not?
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Can you see Achan out on the battlefield with his brethren? And there that fellow that he served beside all those years goes down. And he watches him die. Do we hear Achan having any remorse?
No.
Do we hear Achan having any regret? As a matter of fact, until Achan was called out personally, we never hear Achan say one thing about what was on his shoes. Friend, you don't have any idea what you're missing.
That's it. Come on.
You could have a spirit-filled life.
Amen.
You could be an inspiration and a blessing to everybody around you.
That's it. That's it. Come on.
God could use you to be a soul winner. You could lead people to Jesus. How about this verse? Blessed are those that are asleep in the Lord, I believe, or die in the Lord, something that form. I can't remember exactly how it's worded. But I want to get to this part. For yea, though they rest from their labors, their works do follow them.
Amen.
You want to know why I'm saved? I'm following a little Sunday school teacher named Pat Cody.
Amen. Bless him, God.
You want to know why I'm saved? There were some little saints over at Rankin that loved this little eager 8-year-old boy enough to pray for me and live right in front of me. Live right. That's an unusual term, isn't it? You know what that means? That means to live without or to get rid of what's on your shoes. To live without or get rid of that sin in your life. Now this is, we got Tommy, he's a visitor, and I appreciate him being here. This is the church. Wednesday night crowd's usually the backbone of your church. Preacher, we just came out of revival. We just came out of revival, preacher. I want to keep revival going.
Amen. Amen.
And the way we do that is we're real careful about what's on our shoes. You know what needs to be on our feet?
Come on.
This is what the New Testament says. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Amen.
Now I know folks believe it different ways. There are folks that believe it. And I've had the question asked of me, and I'm sure you men have too. Where'd you go to seminary? Let me tell you where I went.
Bless him.
Bless him.
I had to go down in the midnight hour.
Hey, man, come on.
And get down on my knees.
Yeah.
And say, Lord, you give me what you want me to have.
Amen.
You give me the words that you'd have me to preach, and no more, no less.
Bless him.
It's not my job to step on you. It's not my job to point my finger at you. This is what that I was ordained to do. Preach the word.
Amen.
That's all I've got.
Well, preacher, if you read James Dobson, if you read Charles Stanley, if you read this or that, and I'm not condemning them, and they've got written some good books, and I've read a few of them, but I want you to know everything that the gospel needs is contained within the King James Version Bible.
Amen. Come on,
preacher. Bless it. Bless it.
And everything you need's in there, too.
That's it.
How do you know, preacher? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Amen.
And a light unto my path.
Amen.
It's a lot easier to see what you're stepping on and stepping in if you're walking in the light.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you get in darkness that you can't tell where you're stepping.
That's it.
And when we're walking around with sin in our life, it's a lot harder to see where we're going.
Amen. Amen.
Old friend. With the preparation, I'm about done, of the gospel of peace. Did you hear that? Did you catch all of that? Because that's a big thought. With the preparation of the gospel of peace. Before a man can stand and preach the gospel, I believe he's got to pray. Before a man can stand and preach the gospel, I believe the book says, study to show thyself approved. Yeah, that's a good verse for preachers. Well, how about you, non-preacher?
Come on.
How about you, church member? How about you, saved person?
Come on, preacher.
What are you going to say? And I believe it was somebody up on the altar a minute ago said to Becky, and said somebody been asking her questions. You don't need to believe it because mama believed it.
Amen.
You don't need to believe it because daddy believed it. You need to be able to read it out of the King James Version Bible and say, this is why I believe in eternal salvation.
Amen.
You need to be able to read it out of the King James Version Bible and say, this is why I believe in the Trinity. You need to be able to read it out of the King James Version Bible and say, this is the way to be saved. For when the heart, I like this, for when the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and when the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is not my church to dictate. This is not my congregation to tell what to do and what not to do. I'm just a little servant boy, and I want to provide the opportunity for you to make confession that Jesus is your Savior.
Bless him, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless him. Bless him.
You see, it's not my church. It's our church.
Amen.
That means you have a part in it.
Amen. Come on. Come on.
All right, Marty, you may have to lead man on this now.
Come on. Listen. Come on. Listen.
I've seen folks, they don't like the singing. They don't like the Sunday school.
Come on.
They don't like the way we take the offering.
Bless God.
The preacher preaches too long.
Come on.
The preacher raises his voice. The preacher don't stand behind the stand. Or the preacher never stands behind the stand. Mm-hmm. And they've got a critique for everything that's done.
Mm-hmm.
A criticism for everything that's done in the house of God.
Come on, preacher. Bless him.
But you don't see them do a whole lot.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
I don't believe the Lord ever saved a single person to sit down and do nothing.
Amen.
You may not be an elected officer at Dutch Bottoms, but I'll guarantee you God's got a job for you to do in his house.
Amen.
It may be just to shake hands with folks and let them know there's somebody here that cares for them.
Amen. Come on. Bless him. Bless him.
All right. I promise I'm about done. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and doctrine. Right here's a lady.
to my knowledge, she is not an elected officer at Dutch Bottoms. But she's got a gift. She's one of the best people I know to let people know that she cares. She calls folks that can't go to church to say, "Hi, I'm praying for you. How are you doing today?" And to let people know that somebody has thought of them and somebody has cared for them. Friend, that's needed in this day and age. Once you get to a certain age and you can't get around and you can't move, and Paul talked about being in that shape, didn't he?
Amen.
They don't stop being a part of the church because they're just not sitting in the four walls. People need to know that we care.
Amen.
You see, there's a job for everybody in the church. Clara even calls people that aren't part of this church. She calls my mother-in-law and talks to her just to let her know somebody cares about her.
Amen.
Friend, we don't just be Christians between 7 and 9 p.m. We're not just Christians between 10 a.m. and 12 on Sunday morning.
Come on.
Ye are the light of the world. If we only were Christians while we're in the sanctuary, we'd be a miserable bunch of Christians.
Amen. Come on, preacher. Bless it, God. Bless it.
That's the truth.
I want to be better. Well, check your shoes.
Amen. Come on.
I wanted to
help him, Lord.
Bless it, God.
Draw nigh unto God. And what's the scripture say? He will draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
Want the next line? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. We can all say we're saved.
Amen.
You know what else we can say? We can all say we're sinners.
Amen.
And you can,
Come on, preacher. Come on.
2 minutes.
Come
on. You do 2 minutes.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him.
I was in a service one time, and the preacher from behind the stand in the middle of his message wanted everybody to raise their hand if they were perfect. Well, this old boy's hand didn't go up.
Come on, preacher.
We're in flesh.
Amen.
And the best I can read, it says we're supposed to strive.
Amen.
Strive.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to mess up.
That's it.
Amen.
We're all going to get real tired and forget to pray one night. Or we're going to get real tired and not pick up the Bible and read. Maybe worse than that, I don't know. This is what I want to charge you to do. If you know you're not where you need to be with the Lord, fix it.
That's it.
Amen.
Fix it.
Come on.
Yes.
Go to your altar and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you need to, and I'm real proud that we have a place.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I'm proud of our young folks. I'm proud of our ladies. And men, it wouldn't hurt us to do a little bit better.
Amen.
If you got a problem, come and fix it.
Amen.
Amen.
What do you do when you're dirty? You clean up, don't you?
Amen.
Then why are we satisfied with our Christian lives to be filthy?
Come on.
And we stay that way. Why are we satisfied to live in our sin and think God's okay with it?
Come on, bro.
And he's just going to keep blessing? No, he won't. I mentioned Achan. You know what happened to Achan? He didn't repent. He confessed, but he didn't repent. And they killed him.
You might be sitting here tonight, eat up with sin. You've made no effort to get it off. You've made no effort to clean up. And you can come every service you want to come, every time the door's open, and be spiritually dead.
Amen.
God will not bless over sin.
That's it.
And I believe I'd have more respect for this church and this altar than to come tracking my old rotten carcass up here, filthy from sin.
Amen.
I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to tell you, you could be blessed.
Amen.
You are really missing some of the best parts of being saved.
Amen.
By being content to live with sin. There was a reason that God told Moses to pull the shoes off his feet. We could go on. I could talk about the things of the world that we come in occupied with. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that thus so easily beset us. Sometimes we get so distracted with just what's going on around us that we can't concentrate on what God wants to do for us.
Amen.
I don't care if they tell me I meet up with cancer tomorrow. I'd have to say God's been good to me.
Amen.
I don't care if the death angel comes tonight. I'd have to say God has blessed me.
Amen.
I'd have to look behind me at the goodness and the mercy that's followed me.
Amen.
Friend, has God been good to you?
Amen.
All the time.
Now let me ask you this. Have we been good to God? Have we? Because when we're content with our sin, we're not in God's will.
That's it.
We're not pleasing to Him. And He won't bless us. And He won't use us. We can pretend. We can tell everybody we're okay. But until we get rid of that accursed thing, until we get rid of our sin, we never will be pleasing in the sight of God.
Amen.
What's on your shoes? What are we bringing that we shouldn't bring? What are we okay with that we shouldn't be?
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
You know what I'm talking about.
Come on.
And you know how this world is. Hollywood's about convinced us that everything's okay. And God's word's not changed. Pull the shoes off your feet. The only way we can realize we're dirty is for the light to get a good light and shine. Here's a good light right here.
Amen.
The only way we can realize we need to clean up is to hear the gospel. I didn't really finish that thought. Let me get that right quick. The preparation of the gospel, what's it say the gospel is? Of peace. I've had preachers do everything but call my name. Talking about this and that and the other. And I've had preachers call my name and be absolutely justified in it because I was in the wrong. And they were preaching in the spirit. They'd had no idea, but they might as well have said, Mike, you're guilty. And I knew. And all I could do is say, oh, me, and repent. And I've had preachers in the wrong spirit try to call my name. That's okay. That's all right. I just love you anyway. But friend, why do you want to miss blessings when all it takes is like the prodigal going to the Father and saying, I'm sorry. I repent. We don't hear repent mentioned much anymore. We don't hear sin mentioned much anymore.
Amen.
You know what? A lot of folks preach, come on in, put some money in the plate.
Amen, come on.
Live however you want to live, just show up, put some money in the plate. And God is not in that.
Amen.
And yeah,
I'd like to see every pew, every seat on every pew with somebody in it.
Amen.
But if we have 30 and God is saving, I'll take that.
Amen.
And we got some folks convinced that if you're not part of a little church, that God's not in it. Where's that at in the Bible? I read on the day of Pentecost that there was 3,000 souls saved. Mm-hmm. If God's only with the little church, how did 3,000 get saved?
That's it.
Amen. Now, friend, come on. It's not in the number. It's in your heart.
That's it.
And whether or not you got anything on your shoes. Mm-hmm. It's in your heart, whether your heart's right and whether you're willing to obey.
Amen.
If you're willing to obey, it don't matter how many's in the house. God will bless.
Amen.
All right. What's on your shoes?